I know it's been a while. It's been 2 months almost since my last episode, and that was intentional. But I'm back. Not better than ever, but I'm back. This episode, we're going to talk about semester two and the things we need to do as counselors to get our scholars ready for high school or college. I'm going to take the route of high school because I'm an eighth grade counselor at my school. So we're going to talk about the things we need to do this semester to prepare them to be ready for high school. Of course, my housekeeping items and my final thought on my 2 month hiatus. This is the part of the show I say, let's go. So we are in semester two of this school year, which is trying to do some type of normalcy, but Omicron or Omicron variant, it's not letting it be great with a lot of delayed starts or virtual openings and going back to in-person to, you know, mitigate some spread in schools. But at the end of the day, we're going to go ahead and start semester two and start getting our students ready for the rest of this year with state testing or graduation or crossing over ceremonies or things like that. So I just want to talk about a few of the things that we are doing, especially myself at my school, to get our scholars ready for high school. And the first thing that I'm doing this semester is I'm continuing on with my virtual college tours. You want to try to get as much exposure to our scholars to make sure that they know the various options that are available to them. So, you know, you want them to make sure that they have things that are ready for them or places that they want to go. Like, if they don't want to go to college, be a, let's say a teacher or a psychiatrist, they want to do something like carpentry or a barber or a HVAC engineer or anything like that. Of course, you have them explore tech schools. As far as Georgia with dual enrollment, that's another good part of dual enrollment. You want to get that exposure to them. We'll get to that in a minute. But make sure that you continue your virtual tours. You want to do fat. I did it hot and heavy my first, this first semester in the fall, where we had three colleges visit and we introduced them to the various colleges. Talk about dual enrollment and campus life and tuition and so forth and so on. Of course, tech schools give scholars a different option as far as, you know, a shorter time in school to get train for their trade and possibly apprenticeships when they're in school. They can come out possibly having their own business, that type of thing. So that's the first thing I would continue to do college tours for my eighth graders. Of course, high school, you want to start those in the fall because application deadlines are November, December, so you want to try to get as many as possible. Ideally, you would like to do some college tours in April, May, but of course, you might have some state-mandated testing. You want to try to get some of those college tours out of the way early in the year, like August, September. Even bring another one back in March, maybe, to catch those 11th graders or possibly, some 12th graders that missed out on the first one and might want to try to go to school late. But make sure you still give them college exposure as far as either tech careers or traditional college careers. Second thing we're going to be doing this semester also, IGPs for Georgia, which is individual graduation plans. There's a feature in Infinite Campus. I'm not familiar. Power School. You want to go ahead and create basically their balance sheet for high school. You place in their electives or pathways that they're going to be following to make sure that they follow the correct pathway and whatever they get gauged to do. Of course, in Georgia, you need 23 high school credits to graduate, and you could go ahead and select a pathway. They have about 7 to 8 hours to possibly take two pathways or just take some electives that they might see fun in a pathway. Especially for high school counseling, you want to make sure if you follow a starter pathway, there's nothing wrong with taking a couple different classes, but try to close out a pathway so you can be certified in it. If you're going to like a dual school, something like in Bibb County had Hudgens Career Center, or in Henry County has Academy of Advanced Studies, where they have a multitude of pathways that you can take. You got to go to work after you graduate. Like, you might have pharmacy tech or teachers in school. You'll take that pathway, go to college, get your undergrad, and possibly start teaching in elementary school. That's a second option. Third option, of course, will be for those scholars that struggle semester one, that are failing two or more classes, preferably two or three classes or more. You want to go ahead and get those letters out to parents and students. Have a meeting with them, let them know where they stand. Let them know that we're here to help support, but at this moment in time, you're not being successful. We want to give you everything you need to do to be successful. Four, of course, we want to go ahead and if you haven't taken a PSAT in the fall semester, this will be a good time to have your scholar take it this semester so they can gauge their knowledge of what they've learned up to this point in their educational journey. Henry County, of course, took the PSATs in October. They funded it for all 8th graders and 10th graders this year. And hopefully one day we'll take it in February. So that way you'll get a little bit more of that 8th grade year, that 10th grade year under their belt. So that way you can get a little bit better gauge of where they're at. You want to get it early, but coming into the 8th grade year, just what I've seen in some scores, I would prefer them to take it in the spring semester, but you can't control that. The district wants to get some data so they can disaggregate it and use that for possible course study or possible enrichment opportunities for your district. One final thing that I'm going to get to in my next segment, we'll go into a little bit more details, master scheduling. This is the time of the year we start master scheduling and creating a bell schedule for our schools. Of course, administrators are ideally in charge of creating the master schedule with your special ed lead. That would be the best option for us, a non-counseling duty, to have your administrators create it, have the registrar or the data clerk input the sections, and you just schedule the students. Depends on your district, you might have a few more responsibilities where you're trusted to do that a little bit more than another person to do it. Some districts still have registrars doing scheduling. We have counselors, and that's, even though that is data entry, they're not familiar with the Carnegie credits or section numbers or whatnot. So that's just depending on where you're at. On the next segment, we're going to go into a little bit more detail as far as master scheduling and what you need to look for when you're building your schedule. We'll be right back. I do this every year for the last couple of years as far as semester two, things that we need to look forward to as far as counselors. We've talked about things we need to be looking for our scholars, but semester two, of course, this is where we start building our master schedule for the next year. Do you want to keep the same bell schedule? Do you want to move around sixth grade connections to the first part of the day, or move seventh grade first, or eighth grade last, or eighth grade first, or you want to do a traditional bell schedule versus a block schedule? Do we need to prepare PD for teachers to teach our scholars on a block schedule? Do we need to extend some classes? Do we need to modify connection schedules? That sort of thing. Or what does our FTE look like? Are we losing teachers? Are we gaining teachers? Are we getting a new position? Are we getting another counselor? Are we getting a data clerk with our numbers? Those are very important things that the district looks at when January, February hits, because some districts are going to start sending contracts out early so they can go ahead and get a roundabout count of what staff members are coming back to the building. So we need to look at what we are going to do as far as help our administrators and our staff in the building make a more optimal scheduling. So, of course, when you build a schedule, you want to know where your bell schedule is going to be. If you're going to be block scheduling, it depends on where those periods fall at. How does it look for your teachers and your gifted sections, so forth and so on. But when you're creating your master schedule, the first thing you need to make sure you do is create your master schedule, have it ready. After that's completed, you need to get with your special ed leader and go ahead and schedule those students that are in have special ed accommodations. Because the reason why is for this, so the one, you could get an accurate account of what staffing you need for your special ed department. Two, you want to make sure those sections are set up so that way the special ed lead can schedule those staff members to write sections, and if they possibly need to cross team or if they have enough to have people on their own grade level. That's one position in any school, in any district, in anywhere that you're going to have a small lack of with somebody with special ed background. And that's a very detailed position. So you want to make sure you have enough staffing, the right staffing there, so that way when you create those sections, you have enough people there. The second piece of that is if you're doing REP classes or remedial education program, or you know, Re 180, Math 180, that sort of thing, you have those sections created. So that way, if it's going to be a traditional bell schedule, are you going to put those on the grade level, or are you going to have them during connections? Now, if you do an AB format, you're going to see those teachers every other day. If you do it during, if you have it every day, one, you're looking at having connection classes about 90 minutes. That's only 40 minutes per class. But when you do something like that, when you have both connections the same day every day, the one thing that can backfire on that, let's say for instance you have a band class and you have students that have bring their instruments every day, and when you finally line up and get to class, it takes them possibly 5 to 10 minutes to pull their instruments out, warm up, play, and then that's it, and take it back now. So that could be a disadvantage for like band classes. So you want to make sure you have enough time for, of course, your band teachers, orchestra, or dance, even, because they got to change clothes and practice, then change back into their regular clothes. So those are a couple of things you possibly need to look at as well. If you're going to do a flip-flop, like an AB format, you need to make sure there's enough time built in there for putting instruments together, openings, work session, closing, and breakdown. So that's one key part of that. Make sure that your connection teachers have enough time, also as well as your staff have enough time for teaching and for planning. You don't want to give a staff member 40 minutes of planning unless it's some type of specialized schedule, like an assembly schedule, something like that. But you want to make sure that their time is maximized and is given to them, so that way they'll be well prepared to get our scholars prepared for each day. The last course, 504 students, make sure you balance those out through the grade level, so that way one team doesn't have a multitude of 504 students where another teacher has a lot of them. And finally, when you have your master schedule now, as far as your REP classes, you know, your connection schedule, your bell schedule, and special ed sections created, you want to make sure that you have your gifted students scheduled. So that's the third person that should come on the totem pole. For me, I make sure my gifted and my special ed students are scheduled first, then my REP. The reason why, because you need to make sure you create sections for gifted. Now, there's a trick to that for gifted. You don't want to make it seem like you have a gifted team, because it wouldn't seem fair, because it seems like other two teams are getting students that are, you know, either high flyers or not equitable. So when I create my schedule for my A grade team, I made sure I put gifted sections on each team. This year I gave I had the ability to move some gifted students to a gifted math, two different gifted math sections for my other two math teachers, because my main math teacher, she teaches high school algebra, and she also teaches two sections of math, regular math. So I didn't have enough students to teach for her to have four sections of algebra, so she had to come down and do two. She also had to do two sections of math and then two sections of algebra one. So you want to make sure it's equitable, that at least the trade-off for those math teachers picking up a few extra students is that they get a gifted section, especially that gifted certified. You could collaborate, so that way you get credit for your FTE funding. So make sure when you're creating your master schedule, you have your special ed sections created, you have your REP sections created if they're going to be on connections or grade level, and gifted sections throughout your grade level. So that way you have options to balance out classes a lot more. And so that way some classes won't be overloaded, some classes won't be lighter, because you're going to get some type of pushback if that's the case. So you want to make sure those items are in place, so that when you build your master schedule and when you set your sections, all you got to do is put the teams together and send those students on. Now I'll be right back with my housekeeping items. Be right back. This is a part of the show where I talk about the things that are going to be happening later on in the show, later on my episodes, later on this year. Of course, you can find me on the Twitter at Faye the PSC. You can find me on Facebook under the Council Connection with Fabian Vix. You can follow me on Spotify, Anchor, Breaker, Pocket Cast, Google Podcasts, and of course Apple Podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Apple. If you're listening to my podcast, I would like to have another a MacBook or an iMac so I can record my shows and some beats. If you like to, you know, sponsor it, I'll give you a shout out every time I talk about what you know. I wouldn't mind having a free gift as far as that to do my podcast. Later on this year, it's a tradition unlike any other. Later on this year, Steve Sharp will be joining me on a podcast on dealing with comic book movies or shows and how that ties into school counseling. Hopefully, we'll have Caroline Perry to join us again this year. But I know me and Steve are waiting for some things to shake down as far as some Marvel shows. So that way we can possibly talk about diversity, equity, or with Moon Knight, with dissociative identity disorder, or DID, basically split personality disorder, and how that affects that character in that way. Maybe we might talk about, you know, Hawkeye, or Eternals, or, you know, Spider-Man No Way Home. Possibly we might throw that in there, but hopefully we will have that ready for you later on this year. Of course, if you listen to the podcast, you're an administrator, we'd love to have you on the show, talk about the things that you do with your counselor, how you love your counselors, and how you collaborate with them on a daily basis. I'll be right back. My final thought on my 2-month hiatus. Fave's final thought. So I haven't posted an episode in the last 2 months, and for those that that know that my mom passed away on Thanksgiving Day, and we also dealt with my wife's stepmother's passing right before Christmas. She died a week before Christmas, and that's a tough loss for my wife's dad and her siblings and everything. And it's just sad. We just seen a lot of death over the last 2.5-3 years, and my dad was more shocking because he died in bed with my mom. And that hurts because, you know, he didn't get a chance to see Chloe march or see a video of her marching or Layla playing a horn. Of course, they both want to see Yasmin Leisha graduate from Fort Valley within the next year. That sucks. But my mom passing, the way she passed and how she deteriorated from over the last, we'll say, 7 months, going from doing okay, going to the doctor, doing a doctor's appointment, to getting COVID, being in the hospital bed for almost 3 months, to even just knowing that she had a tumor, two centimeter tumor on her brain, to heart issues, to bone marrow issues, to having a stroke, to renal failure, to everything that happened so suddenly and so brutally, in a sense, it's sad. And for me to look back on it now, the last time I saw my mom, the last 2 times I saw her, I go back to October when I went to see her in the hospital. It was a Saturday. She was medicated heavily. I went to see her. She had a tube, and I thought she couldn't really talk. I think she had a procedure done. I said, "Hey, Mom." she called me Tim. She didn't recognize who I was because it's a little tough for me. She recognized who I was. She called me Tim, and I'm just thinking, like, I'm not Tim, your son. And then she understood who I was. Next day or two, my sister, I think she ended up coming up from Florida, and she was spending a little bit of time where she was able to, because during COVID restrictions, wouldn't allow for a lot of people in the room, especially if she was in ICU. So I saw her spend a couple hours sitting there, and I was just hoping, like, it's just gonna take some time to recover, because when I saw her, she went back in the hospital after she got out of the hospital 2 weeks before. My sister saying she was incoherent, not making any sense. I'm thinking that possibly could have been a stroke. What saved her then was based on blood thinners too. So she got a little bit more time on earth. Then the last time I saw her, it was a Wednesday. They had to do a procedure for, she had some issues with her colon path or whatever. So she had been bleeding from renal bleeding or whatever. They had to do emergency surgery. My sister was trying to catch a flight to Atlanta, and I was at work, and I just left me and my kids, went to the hospital, the ICU, and believe it or not, that was the last time I saw my mom before she passed the following week. The following 8 days, she died. And I'm starting to get back in a regular flow, but my standards of how I do my work and how I work and things I do and my rhythm took a major hit. Some things were lacking. I became more angry, more bitter, not aloof. I could say a little bit distracted, sad, just over it. Let's just say that within 2.5, within almost 3 years, I lost both my parents. One because of COVID, one because of a bad heart, what it seemed like. And my dad was 63, my mom was 65 when they died. So my dad, 63, my mom was 65, and I'm 44. I know some folks have lost their parents at a younger age than what I've lost them, but the impact that they both had on my life, it makes it hit different, because they are the biggest influencers of what I've done, the biggest supporters. And it sucks. It really does suck, and I don't wish that for anybody to lose their parents put them at a young age. And like I said in my last podcast, my mom dealt with kidney issues for over 30 years, and my dad was in the military. He was in very good shape, and until he retired and he started, you know, your metabolism slowed down, and you retired and worked in a different field. You're not held back by restrictions of things you have to do in the military as far as weight and training and conditioning, you know, grooming, that type of stuff. It's tough, and I'm still sad. I'm hurt. I'm angry, but at the same time, I'm at peace, because I know she's not here to suffer not one more day, and with all the stuff she's dealt with all her life, for the many things she dealt with as a child, growing up without a father. Marriage, the many issues that she's dealt with. It just sucks. And I just hope that they're not arguing about the TV in heaven, and my dad's gonna get some fried chicken. And I miss them both. And so if my podcast come with a little bit more scarce to one every 3 weeks or whatever, that's the reason why. I still do my sports podcast. That's a weekly podcast. I'm grateful for them to give me the time off I needed until we came back about a month ago. It's just a tough time. It sucks. It sucks not having your parents. Just say it. Hold on to your parents. Hold on to them tight. I want to thank you for listening to my podcast. I want to thank you for giving me the grace for taking this time off from doing this. And I'll be back next time. We're out. Second nature, big wind that make me sad like second.